It's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast, this time coming to you from the Tier 1 media offices in Cool Springs, Tennessee. Mike Irvine is my guest. Mike, welcome.
Good to be back. It's been a minute since I've been here with you, buddy.
It's been a hot minute, pretty much all summer, but I got the bug for podcasting last weekend when I had the pleasure of inviting Major Ed Polito and former Sergeant Major Tom Fuller onto the podcast to talk about the Folds of Honor Foundation and the Patriot Range Day Initiative. Really, really powerful message. Fantastic, fantastic foundation that takes care of our fallen and permanently wounded, you know, life-altering, injured fighting men and women and their families. They provide this foundation provides scholarships for the families. So, really a worthwhile cause and something I hope everybody will check out.
And this is one of those foundations. This thing is mainstream. You know, Bushnell is really behind this in our industry, in the shooting hunting industry, but mainstream people are involved with this. This thing has a lot of legs.
You bet. If you probably caught over the summer a commercial from Budweiser supporting the Folds of Honor Foundation, making a donation for every case of Budweiser that was sold over the 4th of July weekend. They gather a great deal of support through the PGA, and that's where kind of the model for Patriot Range Days comes from. It's very similar to the model that they have and have had a great deal of success with around the country at different PGA golf courses. So look for that throughout the month of September, Patriot Range Days, raising funds for the Folds of Honor.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. So we got a bunch of different stuff to talk about, a bunch of fun stuff to talk about. The Bruce Pendleton Safes is in-house this week, yesterday and today, installing our installing a new safe.
Have you noticed that the entire office smells like a new car right now?
Well, that's part of part of Bruce's process is an automotive finish. You know, they use true car paint and processes. Like, for instance, the orange safe that they've replaced on the set, that was a Dodge factory Dodge color that you could get on Dodges. So this new one is black, and it looks wet. It's so beautiful, and it's bigger, and it's double-decker AR rifles, which is really cool.
Sweet. I finally took a minute this morning to open that up and look at what a double-layer, two sets of ARs on a rotation looks like. Yeah. It's crazy.
I have no idea how many guns are in there, but there's a lot, and it looks really cool. We just did some still photography for the Pendleton catalog, so I got dressed up and stood next to this new safe. It's pretty awesome.
Now, it was pretty neat watching Bruce and his team put this thing in. Did you take a look at when the layers of the inside were off and you could see the mechanics of how this thing locked down?
I did, actually, and what is really impressive to me is the fact, and Bruce pointed this out, it's full of guns right now, and if you took all of those guns out and weighed them, you're probably between 400 and 500 pounds. And the thing just turns with a finger.
No problem.
That's what's a little bit different about this safe from the others is that the others have an electronic motor that turns the rotisserie. In this one, they needed the space that the motor would have occupied to make the rotisserie tall enough for the double stacked rifle design. And therefore, I just will reach in there and turn it with my hand. So
nice.
I'm pretty sure I can deal with
that. Now, Bruce does all of these almost custom, right? I mean, he'll build these to order. Do I understand?
Absolutely right. Yeah, that's the thing. And I spent a great deal of time with him before we received this on the phone, measuring rifles and kind of talking about how the configuration is going to be. And that is the treatment that everyone who shops Pendleton safes will get. And he builds each and every one to every customer's specification, which
That's unique.
Really cool.
You don't find that in the safe for sale at your local outdoor store. That's incredible.
These are definitely not off the rack items. Yeah. Each one is built to each individual end user spec, which is very, very cool. So we got some fun stuff coming up on the show for the first week of September.
Yeah, this is going to be a good week coming up. What do you got going on Shooting USA?
It'll be the final run of the 2012 Fallen Brethren show coverage, and that's the one where the Remington defense executives came out and gave three gun a try. And so it was fun shooting with those guys. This is the final run of that show ahead of that match occurring again a little over a month from now. So interesting stuff, really cool stage guns in that one. Everybody got to make a 600-yard shot with an MSR in 338, so really, really neat experience.
Now, you shot that match.
I did, actually.
You shot with the executives,
right? I did. I got squatted up with the executives and with Daniel Horner and Robbie Johnson.
So a couple heavy hitters
in
there.
Honestly, if anything you want to do in terms of shooting or any other sport, if you want to get better, shoot with people who are better than you.
That's right.
And in this case, I'm shooting with the guy who is literally the pace setter in every single match he enters. And so I was able to look at his decisions and how he was shooting these stages and say, if I can do 50% of what he's doing, I'm really at the front end of what I've got in terms of skill. And I, in some cases, was able to do a little better than that. But I look at this match as the turning point for me from just kind of floundering and sort of just sending rounds down range and actually being able to make a real plan on a course of fire and be effective in a three-gun match.
It's a great corner to turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you start to be able to break a stage down and start to think what you need to do from A to B to C to D, that's a great corner to turn as a competitive shooter when you're going from someone who's just new and out here doing it to someone who wants to take this on a more serious level.
It makes it fun.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Now, I'm not certainly going to set the world on fire anytime soon in the world of three gun, and I am certainly not pressing any of those guys at the front, you know, the top 10% of the shooting community. But as long as I can turn out a little bit better of a performance and I can actually kind of hold my own going forward, it makes it fun. So.
Now, you need to know I'm taking a lot of heat for not having competed in the last couple three-gun matches.
I heard quite a bit of that at the Pro-Am last weekend at Rock Castle. I heard a lot of, just about every person who came through was, where's Mike? Where's your buddy? Where's Mike? You know. And so I cover for you. You know, you're very busy.
Yes.
You are the host and producer of Impossible Shots, as everybody knows. And that show continues to do very, very well. But that's a huge time commitment.
It is. It's something that I love to do, and I'm happy to do it. But it does eat up a lot of time and spend a lot of time in the field with these individual incredible shooters that are on the show. I mean, the list of people that we've added to the show are just amazing, but it's a lot of work to get those shots turned, to get individual shots turned into a half hour's worth of television. Remember, a shot only lasts as long as the trigger pull and the bullet to travel to the target. So it takes a lot to put those into shows, but good to do it. I may have to sneak out every once in a while, though, and start hitting some matches again because I miss the regular competitions that I haven't been around at as much of late.
Well, this year's Pro-Am would have played well into your strengths. It was heavy on shotgun. It was an interesting thing. I shot the pro side for the first time at Rock Castle, and the shotgun is usually my weak link in the match. And this particular match, squatted with Benny Hill and his son Brian, and the rest of the guys from Corpus Christi, like Ty Gentry and JK, and then having those guys as the pace setters for our squad, it was beneficial to me because on one of the early stages, I was having some problems with the shotgun, and they were able to just say, hey, listen, here, do this and do this differently. And throughout the rest of the match, the shotgun ended up being one of the stronger pieces for me in the puzzle. So it's a fun deal.
Real benefit right there in all practical competitions is the squad that you are in. You're always going to have knowledgeable shooters around, and they're always going to be happy to share insight.
Yep.
That's a calling card of most practical competitions. And even in competitions where you don't talk a lot with your fellow competitors, just watch them, and you're going to pick things up, and it will improve your game along the way.
You bet.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
You bet. Well, it was a humbling experience, too, because also in that squad was Becky Yackley, and I hope I'm saying that right, Becky, and then her sons, Sean and Tim. And the three of them absolutely schooled me. And it's going to make an interesting story for a future episode of Shooting USA because she is the very bubbly, you know, she's the very soccer mom. And I kind of got in trouble with her for calling her the soccer mom while we were shooting. But she ultimately is
way to follow that up on the podcast.
The super mom, I will say.
There we go.
She's
nice
the three-gun mom. She's got the minivan. She's got the two kind of teenage boys. And she's herding them around through this event. But instead of soccer gear or whatever, it's three gun gear. And her older son Tim, he looks like a clone of Daniel Horner.
Nice.
when he moves with the rifle, his positions and so on. But she is a phenomenal shooter. I mean, I was struggling to stay within, 65 or 70% of her, and she's that dang good, and it's amazing. They drove all the way down from Wisconsin, so it'll be a fun story to do later on this fall. There's another match coming up at Rock Castle, and we're going to get up there so we can do kind of a you know, meet the Yackleys, if you will.
Yeah,
and
nice.
Again, I hope I'm saying that right. I'm probably butchering it, but looking forward to introducing them to the audience. And you know, many of the shooters already know them because they're on the circuit. They're out there running these matches, which is how they've gotten to the skill level that they've got. So,
yeah, very
fun,
cool.
Fun stuff.
What else do you have coming up in the show for us next week? We've got the Fallen Brethren 3-gun match.
Yeah, that's a good question. What else is in that show? Oh, it's a story on Shoot for the Future. It's a shotgun event that is held annually here
Nashville.
At the Tennessee Clay Target Complex. And it's benefiting spinal cord injury research, mm-hmm. and our own Trevor Balcom participates here.
Yes.
One of his first times going out and attempting to shoot trap. And, you know, as hard-headed and as driven as Trevor is, it works out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. He tends to pick up on these things rather quickly.
He does, so. Doesn't he? He's kind of a natural. And then, Ithaca's Tom Farrell's involved in that, too.
Yeah, Mike Farrell.
Mike Farrell, that's
Mike Farrell will be out there. And, and Trevor is sponsored by Ithaca. You know, they picked him up following a very strong shooting performance as he continues to establish himself as a competitive shooter in a lot of different sports.
Right. Well, this Pro-Am actually last weekend marks Trevor's move into multi-gun, which is a really complicated undertaking, mm-hmm. all things considered for him. But we'll have a neat story on
that. Well, and really that's what to say is the teaser for the story, because what we saw up there, the one day I got to go with you and watch, was this unbelievable effort by the NRA, mm-hmm. Rockcastle, and volunteers at the match to not only have Trevor shooting from a wheelchair, shooting 3-gun from a wheelchair, but a series of other wounded warriors, mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
And it will grab at your heart when you see this piece. It really will. It was amazing to stand there and watch this unfold.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll get a sense when you see John's story this fall on Shooting USA. It's an incredible thing that's taken a lot of volunteers and a lot of dedicated and hard-nosed veterans to go out and do this stuff. It's very, very uplifting.
I think the crux of the story is that the Pro-Am format lends itself to the adaptive athlete shooter. And, you know, the Task Force Dagger is there again, mm-hmm. with more guys and new guys. And Chris Fleming is there shooting from his two prosthetic legs. But we even take it a step further by involving guys who are bound to wheelchairs, and even taking it a step beyond that and including Brian Anderson, who's a triple amputee. I've met Brian before, and here's a guy who absolutely will not let anything, mm-mm. stop him, and he continues to prove that. I can't wait to show the audience. That'll be this fall.
Very good. Yep. Very good. Something to look forward to.
Yep.
Look forward to. We got a good Impossible Shot coming up next week.
Yeah, well, you got a production.
And I've got production, yeah.
But, Randy, talk about what folks are going to see on the show next week.
Next week I've got Randy Otker and Jerry Michalik both. Mm-hmm. Jerry's got an amazing shot next week. It's a reloading drill with an M&P shield.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the super small pocket carry gun.
I don't think I've seen this piece.
No, you haven't yet. And what it is it's two targets on a track. And Jerry is taking shots and making reloads. And we increase the number of shots before and after the reload before it runs out of track. It's a total speed drill. I will tell you that just as a frame of reference, I couldn't make the initial shots before this thing runs out of track.
Forget about the reload.
He not only makes the first set of shots, reloads, and makes the second set of shots. And it's one of those you just have to see it to believe it, to see how quick his hands are able to manipulate a gun that sized, a gun designed for carry.
That's awesome.
Now, following that up with Randy Ocker, mm-hmm. our compound bow shooter, mm-hmm. Randy is paying tribute to the late Bob Munden. Randy recreated what I think is probably my favorite Munden shot of all time, where he spins the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some interesting difficulties in spinning a coin with an arrow.
Yeah.
And it's a really neat thing, and it pushed Randy's archery ability. It went from just making a precision shot to thinking about a different sort of type of accuracy. You know, it's one thing to hit a bullseye. It's another thing to purposely miss the bullseye in the right spot.
Right.
And that's what we have set up with that. Now, Randy, ironically, is on his way down here following the Labor Day holiday. We're going to be in our normal spot here in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Randy's got 6 new impossible shots that he's going to do. In true Randy form,
mm-hmm.
he won't tell me what they are until he gets here.
Yeah.
That's part of what is always enjoyable with Randy.
Enjoyable.
Yes, that's the word. That's the word I'm using.
I love Randy.
He will pull them off.
He's good people.
He is a funny, funny kid.
He's good people.
And we'll have a good time down here. We've actually got decent weather, and those shots, what Randy's going to do next week, will come up for air later this year also, and turning those impossible shot shows quick.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's you are going to benefit from the weather turn. You know, we're expecting a cold front, according to what I saw in the weather this morning, to move through this weekend during the holiday and literally take us down about 15 degrees from the high that we're experiencing today. It's kind of a scorcher out there today with quite a bit of humidity. So
yes,
that'll be a good week to do it as opposed to this week.
Yep. You know? Well, sometimes the timing works out in our favor, and
sometimes
it doesn't.
Kind of luck up once in a while. That's good news. That's good stuff.
Very good. You going to do some shooting over the Labor Day holiday, buddy? I'm going to load up a Model 37 and go attempt to shoot at a few doves.
I was going
to
say there is a dove hunt, but I got the boys, so. You know, that's kind of in crux right now. The dove hunt's happening whether I go there or not.
Right.
I mean, obviously, everybody, including me, would enjoy it. But, you know, I got family things to deal
that's
with,
right.
too. So the boys are a little young for the dove hunting scene at this point.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see. I don't know.
Very good. I'm going to load up and head south and try to shoot a few. I'm challenging myself to using a pump gun for the first time.
I don't think you'll have an issue.
I think I'll be all right. I've got one of those Ithaca Model 37s. I'm going to give it a go. And I like shooting those guns, so I'm going to follow up with it and shoot at some doves. You know, if I hit them on the first shot, it doesn't matter.
In my limited experience dove hunting, I've only been a few times. It's a great deal of fun, but it's usually the first shot that takes care of the business. So, you know, a follow-up with a pump probably shouldn't be that big a deal, you know. So that's cool. That's excellent. Let's see what else is going on around here these days.
You know, there's been a lot going on here. You hinted it at the top of the show, the fact that we haven't done this in a while, and that's due to the aggressive schedule that we keep in the summer. Starting to wind down, but you have a couple more matches coming up still. What's on
true.
The horizon?
That's true. I'm heading somewhere, believe it or not, that I have never been in terms of a range, and it's a range that's big enough to host a national. We're going to St. George, Utah for the Open and Limited 10 Nationals of USPSA. And interestingly enough, like I say, I've never been there. Mm-hmm. In all these years and all these places we've been, I've never been there. So I'm looking forward to it. I hear it's nice country, and I hear also, I mean, I've made plans based on this. The easiest way to get there is to fly into Las Vegas and get in a car and drive about an hour and a half. So
not bad.
Looking forward to it. I've spoken to a number of shooters and friends who are going to be there. So
now we
be a
have
good time.
Not covered Open in,
I think it was,
can I say ever?
No, we've done the Open Nationals. We did it at Sportsman's at the Desert Sportsman's Team Ranges in Vegas. I believe it was 2011 was the last Open National we covered. And interestingly enough, this year the guys to watch are going to be the U.S. Army Marksmanship Unit's Shane Coley, who is doing very, very well in just about anything he lends his open gun to. Steel and USPSA style shooting, but also Casey Eusebio, who's always one to watch, and I know he's putting a great deal of emphasis on this year's national. So I'm looking forward to seeing both of those guys duking it out. Got a couple of interesting things planned. We're gonna do kind of a mic'd up segment similar to what we did with Rob Latham a couple of years ago at the production nationals, where we hang a microphone on him and follow him through the stage start to finish, from the point that they come on and get the stage walkthrough from the ROs to the point when he shoots it, to the point when he sees others shoot it, and so on, just to kind of see how his plan evolves and how well he sticks to his plan. And when we did it with Rob, it worked very well. We're planning to do that again with those guys.
Phenomenal experience, the one that you did with Rob a few years ago. I was truly blown away at how Rob kept an open dialogue with a few of his fellow competitors right up until the minute he shot. I mean, he never stopped talking about a different way to shoot the stage until he got on the stage.
Right, and that was him and Angus that particular bit. And I remember you were there. We were all out there in Vegas, you and I. And it was an interesting thing, and I think a very fortunate thing for the story. It wouldn't have been important one way or the other, but it ended up being very fortunate that for the match, he ended up winning the stage, which was very cool.
Yes.
And there were changes. Like you said, there were changes in his game plan, in his reloading plan, and everything right up to the absolute last minute. Literally changing the plan at the very moment that the shooter right before him went. And he said, well, I'm going to do this a little bit differently. And it was interesting to watch that evolve and then to get his immediate analysis of his performance. So
yeah, walked off the stage and delivering his breakdown of everything he did, and shows you how plugged in the top guys are to these stages, because Rob was deducing all these events from everybody else who shot.
Right.
And just processing it, taking it in, and absorbing everything that he saw that would happen to people.
Well, and it was there very much in the forefront of his memory because he was able to read it back word for word. He was like, well, Dave had just done this. Mm-hmm. And you know, Angus, he was talking about this, and then he did this, and so on. That was what was really interesting to me, was how much he retained from the others, and then his own performance. It was a really, really neat experiment, one I felt like was successful and one I'm planning on repeating this time.
That's going to be very, very cool to hear, especially in this division of the open guns with the high round counts, the lack of reloading, as opposed to Rob shooting production with lots of reloads.
Right.
So that's going to be a really neat story, something that if you're a competitive shooter, you're going to want to tune in and see, because you're going to pick up a lot on how to break stage down.
You bet. Another interesting aspect of this particular match is they're pairing this one with the limited 10 division. So open guns with your crazy raced out 170-millimeter magazines and wild round counts and stuff, and then the limited guns limited to 10 rounds.
Right.
One interesting shooter who's going to be participating there, and I've gotten a little bit of inside stuff over the weekend at Pro-Am, is going to be Katie Harris, the junior three-gun phenom. I mean, absolute pace setter in three-gun. She is always one of the top three ladies. Well, she has set her sights on handgun nationals, and she has been training and training and training. And at Pro-Am, she didn't shoot the three-gun match. She participated in the Babes with Bullets initiative to coach new lady shooters, and she trained. She trained on her limited gun. And
I have to think that she's a legitimate threat.
She is, yes. I would have to agree with that. And you would couple the fact that she has all of that natural talent and all of those things going for her with the fact that she is training hard, like literally to the tune of 5,000 or 6,000 rounds over the weekend at Pro-Am out of that pistol. And so I spoke at great length with her and with her dad about it, and it's going to be some exciting stuff to see. So look for her to turn up maybe even a ladies' championship on her first trip out there to the limited nationals. It's going to be fun to see.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's coming up. Looking forward to that. And in the meantime, between then and now, I'm actually in town, so I can continue to work on some stuff that's in the can and on the shelf. Right now I'm about 40% of the way through my IRC coverage from June, and looks like that's going to be another fun show. And then immediately jump into the midnight three-gun coverage that we shot 2 weeks ago in Bend, Oregon.
First time for us for Shooting USA to be there. This is going to be a cool one. They start at midnight, correct? That's when they start shooting, is that right?
The ranges went hot at 9 p.m.
Wow.
And the ranges stayed hot until 3 a.m. And that was a grinder. It was it was a tough one. And
I can imagine.
I'm only just now, after having to follow that immediately with the Pro-Am and all that involved, I'm only just now starting to get back to a regular sleep schedule. You know, we traveled Thursday. We did not participate in any of the media events that they put around this particular match. We strictly went out for the main match to see, honestly, if Daniel Horner could repeat, could defend his title out there at the inaugural and pick up that $10,000 cash prize. Well, the answer, you know, if you pay attention to the internet, you already know the answer to that. And if you don't, I'm going to force you to watch the television show. However, that being said, it was a very unique match, one that I can't say enough about how well it was run. And their mindset at this match is, it's an invitational, so we're hosting you. And it was fantastic start to finish.
Great.
It was a really, really neat deal. We called in a favor from Night Optics and got some PVS 14 Generation 3 night vision that we were able to come kind of work out a package and put those onto our cameras. And we've got some great stuff. And then there were other see-in-the-dark devices that we were able to use while we were out there that really made this thing come alive. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a new look on Shooting USA.
It really is. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be something you haven't seen before, and it's going to be well worth tuning in to check it out this fall.
Yeah.
So, boy, we got a lot of cool stuff coming down the chute for everybody this fall then, don't
you
we?
You betcha.
I mean, I've got, I think, 7 new episodes already lined up starting in October with shots that people have never seen before. I've actually got a few shots thanks to Todd Jarrett and Jerry Michalik, I didn't even think were possible in filming. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a good fall.
Well, I'm still sitting on that Terran Impossible shot that I undertook while we were out on the West Coast for the IRC. And so that'll be coming your way also. Terran always does some fun stuff,
yeah, yeah.
And he did again. He never disappoints. This stuff was, when he pulled this shot off, it was so fast that we literally had to roll back the main camera to make sure that he hadn't jumped the buzzer, because it was so fast that I couldn't discern it just by standing
yeah.
there and watching.
And that's a legitimate problem, or difficulty, I should say, in the Impossible Shot Show,
right.
is
right.
some of the people we work with, Taryn,
right.
Jerry, Todd, their hands are so fast
right.
that you have to come back, slow things down. Cisco has some stuff coming.
I mean, he's the fastest.
Yes, in his fast draw world,
right.
There were shots that, to be perfectly honest, were unknown until we could get to a place on a large screen and mm-hmm. slow the video down and verify mm-hmm. that he had done these things, because your eyes can't discern what his hands are doing.
Right.
It's happening too fast.
Well,
now,
as you know, I mean, in fast draw, they don't go by the sound of a buzzer. They
no,
go by light.
Visual start.
They go by
correct.
Light.
Uh-huh.
It's faster than sound,
yep.
man.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Now, we're going back to the Fast Draw World Championships coming up here in a few weeks.
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to that. I have a good time with those people. You know, there's
you and your shorty shorts.
My shorty shorts.
Here's a fella in shorty shorts.
Let me just throw this out to everybody. When you go to a cowboy event,
right.
don't be the only guy in khaki shorts.
They generally don't at cowboy
you
events
really
wear shorts.
Don't fit in.
Right.
No matter how hot the desert is in Nevada at this particular time of the year, do not roll out there in a set of shorts. They will put you on the mic. They will make some jokes.
Yeah, the PA guy. The PA guy will hammer you
right in the middle of the world's final shoot off.
Yep.
Will hammer you for it. But that's all part of it. But no, I'm looking forward to going out there and seeing those people. And one thing I have to say is that there's a huge myth about cowboy fast draw shooting. And the way the sport is designed now is built to spec authentic cowboy guns.
Okay.
They don't deal in the phantom hammers anymore. They
nope,
don't
no more aluminum barrels.
They do not allow aluminum barrels, and you absolutely have to hit a steel target with a wax bullet for your score to count.
Okay.
So they've eliminated some of the trickery stuff that hurt the sport years ago mm-hmm. in an attempt to bring it back to what it is. Cisco will be there. Cisco is one of, I would say, seven men who between the one of the seven of them can win this thing. If Cisco hits his targets, if his accuracy is there, I can't see anybody with faster hands.
Well, there you go.
And that's what it really boils down to. But we're going to be there. Cameras rolling. We're going to bring you that one this fall. It's always a good time. I love the cowboy folks. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. That'll be a good one. And it's an interesting thing, because in any of these sports, you have that top 1% of guys who
yes.
any one of them, if they hook up, it's their match. It's their match to lose. And it hangs on if they hook up.
Yep.
And
uh-huh.
that's what's always fun
everything
to watch and
has
break
to
down.
Be, it's like watching the Masters on Sunday
right.
when the guys are coming down the back nine. Who's going to have their hands and their head and everything in the right spot? And there's a number of guys who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of which one has that in the best capability on that particular day.
You bet. Good stuff. Good times. All right. Well, you know.
Very good. Good catching up with you, brother.
Yeah, it is.
It's been a
and,
while.
Hey, and this is one of those things we need to do more of.
That's
you
right.
Know, people start to listen, and then we get busy, and we neglect it.
Yep.
And it's too easy just to sit down for half an hour
that's
and
right.
record a Shooting USA podcast.
That's right.
So let's do it more.
Fun to put it out there. We can always point everybody. Remember, Wednesday nights, Outdoor Channel.
Yep.
Shooting USA leads off with the hour block, and immediately following Impossible Shots.
There
so
it is.
Find everything we're talking about every Wednesday night.
Yep. And then there's always ShootingUSA.com. And, of course,
correct.
We've got a bunch of Facebook
all
pages and
we're all
that
out
business.
There.
And I'm out there on Instagram, FastMover13 on Instagram. I'll show you pictures of whatever I'm looking at. And usually, if it's not a gun, it's an exotic car. And I'll throw in a few shots of my kids once in a while. You just bear with me on that.
It's good entertainment. It is. It is all the way around. It's fun stuff.
Outstanding. Well, that was fun. We'll
very
do it.
Good.
We'll do it again next week.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.